Welcome to today's episode of Watchable with Bethy Hernandez and special guest
Eli Hernandez.
Two cousins and sometimes guests talk movies and TV.
Basically, if it's entertainment related, we've got you covered.
Today we're discussing
the Cobra Kai. I thought it would be more dramatic than that.
Cobra Kai. And a little bit of Karate Kid. Today, you might realize that we do not have our usual co-host, Sophie. We have my dad. This is because Sophie isn't the biggest lifelong fan of Karate Kid or Cobra Kai, and my dad most definitely is. So, what are your thoughts on being here today?
Well, it's very validating, I think, to be thought of as a lifelong fan of Karate Kid. I think I would say I'm probably, you know, not just someone from the 80s, but someone who actually would classify this as one of their favorite movies. So I think it's a good idea to talk about Karate Kid from two generational perspectives. So let's do it.
Yeah. Before we jump right in, I asked my dad to choose a media pick of the week. So what have you got for us?
Well, I was actually kind of struggling with that. But as I started thinking about what I've started watching lately, I think since it deals with subject matter that was around the same time as Karate Kid was released, I'm going to go ahead and recommend Challenger, The Final Flight, a documentary about the tragic loss of the Challenger space shuttle. So I've started watching that. I can't say I've finished it, but it's great so far. And I think even your little brother, who's 9 years old, was riveted by it. So I think that's another one for the all ages. And, you know, it's very inspirational and historic.
Yeah, I have only seen bits and pieces of it, but it definitely sparked my interest. So I will be checking out more of that. For my media pick of the week, I chose Surviving Death, which is on Netflix, which my dad has also watched a little bit of. Basically, it is kind of a documentary series about anything from past life experiences to seeing ghosts. And what I like a lot about it is how it brings a scientific perspective to all of these things. And it's really interesting. So if you are into any of that kind of thing, definitely recommend.
Or if you're not into it.
Yeah, it might give you a different perspective.
It's a subject that I don't think has been super mainstream, and for it to be front and center on Netflix, I think will open a lot of people's minds to some things maybe they hadn't considered.
Definitely. So with that being said, I think we can jump into the Karate Kid talk.
Now, I'm ready.
We're going to start off with just recapping the basic 1984 movie. What was your first experience like seeing it in theaters?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this, and to be honest, when this movie came out, I was in second grade, and I can't say for certain that I remember seeing it in the theater, or even my first experience with the original movie, but I can say with a level of certainty, it was my grandma who had a VCR at the time, video cassette recorder, for those of you who don't know. When it was on cable TV, which she also had cable, we had neither. And so it was pretty exciting to go to her house and be able to watch movies that she taped. So probably in between part one and part two sometime, she had video recorded it and we'd watch it at her house. And eventually when we did get our own video cassette recorder, I was able to watch it at home over and over and over and over. So that's kind of how my experience with it started. And I remember when part two came out, I do vividly remember seeing that in the theater because my grandma told me about it. It wasn't like, you know, you'd see it on a promo on YouTube. She saw it in the paper or something and told me, oh, we got to go see that together. I hear Miyagi really kicks that bad guy's butt. I'm like, oh, wow, that doesn't sound like Miyagi, but yeah, I'll go see it. And then we come to find out he didn't really kick his butt. He just stepped aside and kind of let him do the damage to himself. So that's what I remember part two in the theater very vividly, and then watching them both at home a lot.
That's interesting, because from what you're telling me, it's definitely one of your childhood movies. I think everyone has those movies that they rewatch as kids. Like, for, you know, for our family, it was, like, Cars or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something. But for you, it was Karate Kid, along with other things, but...
Karate Kid, Goonies, Ghostbusters, all the classics. And I think you can see a common thread in all of them, why they were so appealing. They were just really well done, you know, mm-hmm. on top of, you know, just being stories that kids could get into. Just the cinematography and the just the attention that they paid to making some of those movies is very evident. And we can't forget Back to the Future. I should have said that. I feel a little bad about that.
Now I feel like we need to do an episode on that one. Sorry, Sophie. My dad and I are just going to take over with 80s hits.
Yeah, we could have an 80s spinoff show.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you remember this, but my first time watching it was a little bit different because I was probably around the same age you were when you showed it to me.
Seems about right.
But I vividly remember being terrified.
It was a scary movie. I can see that.
It scared me as a kid, all of it. Probably too much kicking and punching and all that.
True.
And I remember always thinking, oh, I hate that movie, because you and Maria would actually watch it together all the time.
Oh, she loved Miyagi, that's why.
She did. And I would be kind of annoyed. And then one night I just couldn't miss out.
You committed.
And so I sat down and I was like, wait, this is good. This is actually good.
I never considered that when showing it to you, that it might be scary, but there are a lot of dark scenes. Even Daniel's first introduction to Miyagi is a little spooky.
Yeah.
Walking into the dark and he kind of glares at him. And then guys in skeleton costumes beating up Daniel in the dark, foggy night. Yeah, I get it.
Well, to be fair, even Toy Story freaked me out as a kid, so...
Oh, true.
Didn't take much.
Yep. So, if any parents are listening, don't worry about it. Just show them Karate Kid Part 1.
Worth it.
Today.
They'll come around. So, I want to know why you specifically like it. What was the appeal to you when you were younger and now?
Let's start by saying that it's certainly not a unique perspective. I mean, it was a phenomenon, honestly, in the mid 80s. You know, that it got all the attention that any blockbuster successful film got, with toys and cartoon spin-offs. And I mean, you couldn't walk down the street and, I mean, if you said wax on, wax off, people would know what that meant. I mean, it is that ingrained in our culture. And that's not by chance. I mean, obviously, like I said before, it was just such a well done movie. But I think kids are drawn to just such stark characters, where you have a loner, kind of a social outcast, and then a pack of bullies. I mean, it's not unlike stories that have been told since the beginning of time, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just has that epic, you know, triumph over evil feel. But I don't know if that's the only reason to like it. I mean, it's got all kinds of relationships and comedy. I don't know, just likable characters. I don't know what else to say. Good music. I mean, it just hits all the essential.
All the points.
Yeah. Which just makes for magic. And, you know, it's one that isn't, as a kid, a parent wouldn't have minded, you know, their child watching it over and over, because it tells some good lessons and there's nothing too questionable in it as far as content. It's pretty clean. So
yeah,
great kid movie.
And it definitely appeals to all ages. That kind of story, like you were talking about, that has the good versus bad. It's so universal and it's totally interesting no matter how many times you watch it. And I find it interesting because a lot of movies, it seems like, from the 80s, such as like Star Wars, even.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
thing. It's got the good and bad, light and dark side kind of perspective on it.
Pretty similar. And then, and I was thinking about that too, because, I mean, you know this about me. I mean, I have to confess, I mean, there's a part of me, and there are probably a lot of other kids, who are drawn to the darker side of it too. Countless kids are Darth Vader fans. And I can't say I ever liked the character of Kreese in a way that I would want to relate to him. But Johnny and his friends, I mean, it just sets up I think in a person's mind, you know, just that question of like, do you follow the pack and buy in just to survive and, you know, have fun at the expense of others, or do you sympathize with the one being bullied? And of course, anybody in that situation has those tendencies to want to be part of the group, you know, and fit in. So, you know, seeing Johnny sitting around, you know, before school on the motorcycles and his polo and his nice haircut, that's pretty attractive. I mean, there's a way, not in that way, but you know, attractive to be part of.
No, yeah.
he's a good looking guy, but they all were. They looked good. And you know,
wanted to be like,
sure,
them.
Yeah. In the same way that, you know, Darth Vader, you know,
he was cool looking.
He's very cool looking. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So I think that does set up just sort of this battle in people's minds of, you know, who would I belong with in this situation? And of course, yeah. You know, when it comes down to it, you know who stands for good and evil. But then that's what's so great about Cobra Kai, if I can segue, is that
yeah.
You start learning more about the bad guys, and it expands on the story, and it makes you think more about, well, who do you think of as bad in this world, and what is their backstory? And it comes down to, it's usually about a bad teacher. And I think that's kind of the biggest lesson in the whole the whole series is about role models and teachers.
Yeah, there are no bad students, only bad teachers.
Perfect. Father Flanagan.
Yeah.
He said it first.
He really did. I definitely, you made a perfect segue right there. That's the best part about Cobra Kai. It's why it appeals to everyone, is because it gives you that perspective of Johnny and even Kreese, which you didn't expect them to do, but they want you to understand what made these characters the way they are. And especially the last season, they really brought home that point of there's not really a good or bad. Nothing's just, there's not just two categories. There's always somewhere in between. It even shows you, like, not even Daniel is all good. His life, he has some flaws in the way he's raising his children and stuff, and it in the way that he's letting karate dominate his life. So
yeah, I mean, really when the first trailers came out for this and you saw Johnny waking up in a puddle of beer, I mean, that's a hook. I mean, that's just like, oh my gosh, we're gonna learn more about Johnny. I mean, it's like the ultimate fan fiction that came true, you know, that from what I've seen of the producers of the show, they're just the ultimate fans. And you know, they've told stories about how lots of people have approached doing sequels to Karate Kid over the years, and they just were waiting for the right thing to come around. And these guys got it right to challenge people into, you know, oh, there's more to these characters. And things didn't always turn out great for everybody. And it was just more real.
Yeah, it's more interesting in a way, especially for, I think, younger audiences. Because like you were saying, in the 80s, it was always kind of that good and bad dynamic. But it's
fairy tale.
Yeah, fairy tale. But now,
boy gets girl, defeats enemy. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that in the 80s.
Now people are getting sick of that kind of, you know? I think there came a certain point where they're like, in order to make this interesting, we kind of have to reverse the roles of Daniel and Johnny. And you got to see almost what the defeat did to Johnny. And it's really interesting to see that kid you were talking about with the motorcycle, who everyone wanted to be, turn into the person that everyone ignores and thinks is crazy and a drunk, you know?
Yeah. But you know, right off the bat, he's still very likable, even though his life has been turned upside down and he's almost switched roles as far as, you know, socioeconomically with Daniel. They've completely flipped. And but to me, he's still very likable. I mean, he's funny, right?
Yeah.
As a character. So again, immediately you're challenged with, is Daniel, what has he made of his life and what has Johnny made of his? And has anyone really done better here? You know, so
exactly. I don't know. No, you're segueing perfectly into what I wanted to talk about next, which is characters. So while we're on the topic of just discussing Daniel and Johnny, we can start off by talking about them some more, or start first with some lower characters.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Let's just start off by talking about Miguel for a little bit, who is one of the new characters in Cobra Kai. Right off the bat, they make him that kind of likable character. I feel like they almost make him a Daniel 2.0.
Exactly, and that's what makes the whole first season perfect, is that Miguel's the Daniel, but he becomes Johnny's student. So right away, your mind is blown, and it's perfect. So,
yeah.
And I also have to just give my appreciation to the fact that this is a Southern California story, and it certainly seems appropriate that they introduced a Hispanic character, too. So I was pretty happy to see that.
And I think a lot of shows need more Hispanic representation, because I do see shows starting to have more representation over the years, but sometimes it feels like Hispanic specifically is lacking. So I was happy to see that too.
Yeah, and yeah, it's the classic, like, is art imitating life, or is it, you know, it's doing both. It's also kind of showing the world that a character like Johnny, you know, basically adopting this kid as his student and friend, like, that's the trajectory of society. And yeah, it's perfect. Great representation, and kind of challenges people from older generations to see it working.
So. Exactly. Because, I mean, the creators have to know that a lot of people who watch the original show are going to be, not the original show, the original movie, are going to be watching this show now. So it's a good way to introduce the new ways TV is being made and getting more exposure to things like that in the media, which is really great. But on another note, I wanted to talk about, are there anything specifically about Miguel that you like or dislike?
Well, to go back about sort of the discussion of the classic outcast and bully story, I mean, character you give a lot of sympathy to, obviously, and he and his friends. And, you know, I wasn't thinking about it when we first started talking about it, but I think almost everybody has been bullied in mm-hmm. their life. And I think ultimately that's why, I mean, for all the praise I gave Johnny, I mean, of course you're pulling for Daniel to pull it off in Karate Kid, and you're definitely pulling for Miguel.
Yeah.
And it's just because everyone's been there, you know, and, you know, especially again, seeing a Hispanic character and thinking about the names and the teasing that I grew up with, it connects you to a character, and that one more specifically than others. You know, that's the way I view him. So
that's the appeal in his character for sure. For me, I really enjoyed Miguel as a character in the first season a lot because of that reason. And then I don't know if you remember this, but I think in the second season, he became more corrupted by Kreese's ideas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to dislike him a lot. Because he started to almost, he wasn't quite a bully, but he was getting there.
he started to lose control because a bad teacher came into play again.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the third season, which we just watched, he totally goes back to being Johnny's student. And all of a sudden, his character is the most likable in the whole season again. And he suddenly has the most interesting story. I mean, he probably had that defining moment in the fight that obviously injured him really severely, but it was definitely a turning point in his character for me.
Yeah, he's full of lots of twists and turns, which any teenager should be. It's fitting. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, speaking of twists and turns, we can move on to Robbie, who was originally Daniel's student and who is Johnny's son.
Yeah, he's complicated. He makes me think of, you know, old Greek mythologies and things, just the way the families start to get twisted and turned around. That's what makes his character fun, obviously, is that it's another sort of layer to the complex twists of fate that happen in this series. And other than his haircut, I like his character.
See,
I think he was supposed to be a little annoying, honestly.
And
he's just sort of an agitator.
I both dislike his haircut and his character. And in my opinion, I think I've always thought he was annoying from the beginning. He just seems to complain a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might be a good writing choice on the part of
for sure. The
writers.
Oh, yeah, you can't like everybody.
Yeah, you can't like everyone. But Robbie is just so hateable to me.
Yeah, he schemes mm-hmm. a lot. At the same time, I mean, what they're giving you with his character is, you know, his backstory right away, you know, whereas we had to wait, you know, 30 years to see Johnny's backstory. And Kreese is like, he came from a crappy childhood, too. So mm-hmm. it's again, I mean, you know, you know the situation, too. So, yeah, on the surface, he's annoying and that's why his character's there. But you can't blame him. He had bad teaching, too, growing up. So
again, with the teaching thing, I guess you bring up a good point, because to a certain extent, you can say, well, they could have had a bad childhood, but it doesn't mean they get to be a jerk now. That doesn't mean, it doesn't show reasons for them being that way. I don't know.
Well, and kids, you give kids a break on that. And that's kind of what I was saying about Miguel is, you know, teenagers have their ups and downs, you know, twists and turns. You can't judge them by one day or one episode of their lives. You have to give them second chances. And that's also a theme in this, too. I mean,
yeah,
weaving throughout it at different points for different people is redemption, too.
Oh, for sure. I think a lot of what Cobra Kai is about is redemption in a way. Johnny has obviously redeemed himself.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean,
and so is Daniel. Even
I mean, if the book is open here and we're not worried about spoilers or jumping ahead, I mean, the end of season three is what everybody I think was maybe expecting might happen in season one, not knowing there would be more seasons. But to finally see Johnny and Daniel side by side, that's a huge moment, and I'm sure it'll be fraught with issues in the next season, but it is happening, and it's kind of what everybody hoped to see, I think.
It's what I've been waiting for from the start.
Yeah.
Personally.
And Allie, but.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna we'll mention there, that right? later, because I know you probably have some thoughts on that, but yeah, that is exactly what I wanted to see. I wanted to see a Daniel and Johnny team up, because, I mean, I almost root for Daniel and Johnny equally. Both of them have a special place in my heart.
I agree.
And yeah. I just wanted to see them together. And it's an amazing choice for the writers to bring that up in this season. Because next season, it's going to leave room for a lot of conflict. Not necessarily as extreme of conflict as they had before, but obviously there's going to be conflict. But it also leaves a lot of room for humor.
Yeah.
Really good humor.
Well, and where season four will start off is everything is reset, essentially. The mm-hmm. only movement has been Johnny away from Kreese. Everything else is now sort of in order.
Yeah.
Like the good kids and the more common kids are aligning with Miyagi-Do, and the original jock bullies are aligning with Cobra Kai. So it's kind of wiped the slate and everybody's in the right place, and Johnny has made his move, and that's what, pretty much where we're picking up.
Yeah, it's what we've been building up to. And it's pretty interesting, because again, back to the Star Wars thing, I feel like there's always a good and a bad person, but there is always someone a step above the really bad person. The person you think is bad, there's someone who's really bad.
Yeah.
And that is Kreese.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't think Johnny is bad, but, you know, he's a conventional, like, bad character.
Yes.
And you always thought he was kind of the main thing, and Kreese was in the background kind of coaxing it on.
Mm-hmm.
But slowly, they've made you realize Kreese is the real evil here.
He is the emperor. No doubt about that.
Exactly.
And he's, we probably should have a disclaimer here. Towards the end of season three, he called a friend. And I have to let you know, that's someone from Karate Kid Part 3, which I refuse to show you because, you know, I'm sorry to say to any of you who are fans of Part 3, I think it's horrible. It should have been hidden from sight. And we're going to have to watch it, but more to come on that character, too. So.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it no matter how painful it will be for you. I'm assuming I need to see it.
Yeah.
Because from what I can tell is they're kind of following in the sequence of movies in how they bring characters in.
Yeah, true.
Because in season three, obviously, they brought in a lot of characters from part two.
The Okinawa characters in part or in season three. It's just a gift. I mean,
they knew what they were doing for the fans.
For sure. I mean, season three was just a big Christmas present to the fans, honestly, to see so many characters come back and to have them be so useful and interesting. And I mean, again, for someone who's been a super nerdy fan of this series for so long, what a gift.
That's interesting you say useful and interesting, because I think a lot of shows would bring back characters like that and maybe not necessarily give them a proper place in the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cobra Kai did a really good job of making them essential to move the story along.
Oh,
they weren't
yeah.
just placed in there for the fans. Obviously, some part of the placement in the show was for the fans, but they also used them as plot devices, which is great.
Yeah, I think Kreese would have killed Daniel if he hadn't learned his paralyzing move from Chosen. And the Chosen scenes were so great, so full of tension and comedy. I mean, I knew he was going to honk Daniel's nose, but for anyone who didn't, you know, I hope that was satisfying.
Oh, it was, I think it's probably more satisfying if you know he's going to honk his nose. And I think it was perfect, and they definitely needed to bring back more of a tribute to Okinawan culture, which Daniel, it's hinted at in Cobra Kai how much he cares about it, but finally, I think season three did that justice.
Yeah, and it's also nice to, even without having Mr. Miyagi, that his family's teaching are still being revealed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in a sense he's still there, you know.
Yeah.
That Daniel was able to learn this maybe final trick in the Miyagi books. So,
and also for him to realize that Miyagi didn't teach him everything, that just because he was taught by Miyagi doesn't mean he knows all the secrets of karate, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of times he gets a little cocky about that.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, I agree. I wondered with the trailers what Chosen was alluding to when he said, you haven't learned everything yet.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe we'd learn of a Miyagi child, you know, or something.
Which Miyagi cool. scandal.
Yeah. But a paralyzing karate kick is just as fun.
Yeah. Perhaps more doing justice to Miyagi's character.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows what, you know,
yeah,
what the future holds, though.
Cobra Kai is a pretty crazy show. Who knows what they can do next?
Can I comment on that? I don't want to get off your list.
Oh,
here,
no, go ahead.
As far as crazy, too, I mean, if I had to, when you say it's crazy, I think that's meaningful too. And I just want to comment that I do feel, and we've talked about this, that the fight sequences have gotten a little outside the realm of realism,
yes.
which season one, I still felt was so gritty and real
mm-hmm.
that just, I wonder if it's because as they started picking up a more youthful audience, maybe they felt like they had to give them more exciting fight scenes.
Yeah.
But they're to the point of, you know,
not seeming real.
No,
realistic at all.
They're kung fu now. They're Jackie Chan. They're like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not fun to watch at all, but it does take away a little bit from the realism that I felt the first season had.
That's a really good point. I mean, I feel like the first season was really like, it really wasn't afraid to show the harsh reality about a lot of things.
It was like a documentary almost.
About life in, I mean, I don't know. It was really interesting to see how much they just were unafraid to show, like, Johnny's drinking problems mm-hmm. and how, I don't know, how
and,
people were.
And it unfolded really slowly, too. And
yeah.
I liked that. I don't know, just getting kind of deeper into it. And so I feel like the pace has really picked up.
It has.
And the fight scenes have gotten over the top. But it's still enjoyable. It does feel a little bit more like a big present, you know, or
yeah.
something rather than, you know, maybe sticking to the more true feel of the first. But
I'm really glad you brought up that point, because I almost forgot about that. And I think you're totally right that it's the younger generation appeal, because I've been finding that a lot of people get bored now watching shows that are more than 20 or 30 minutes and they get uninterested in things that aren't really fast paced and moving. And I guess the creators probably realized that and were like, we need to do something to make these fights more, I don't know, appealing to people like who want that sort of thing.
Yeah.
For me personally, I don't need that, but
right.
I guess it doesn't hurt necessarily.
No, it's again, it's fun to watch, but
yeah,
they sacrificed a little with it.
Definitely. Well, if you want to continue with Daniel or Johnny, or even if you want to talk about Sam, just
probably should talk about Sam.
You want to talk about Sam? Okay.
The reason for that being season three also set up Sam as being, I guess, a central character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously we're going into another tournament and someone has to be at the top of the tournament, and I can only guess it's going to be her. And she kind of developed slowly throughout the series too, but I feel like she's kind of taking the mantle of the main character and within the karate, the two dojos. So,
I mean, I would say for sure within the two dojos, it's Miguel and Sam as the top, as the leaders. But Miguel, since he's been injured, I don't even know if he'd be ready enough to fight for the tournament, you know? So I think you're right that she is probably going to take the lead as the one who is possibly the...
Yeah, I just feel like things have, showing how afraid she was of Tori,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's just, it's just setting up more for them to be the central conflict, I guess.
Yeah, and I have enjoyed her character. I liked from the beginning of the show, she was kind of hesitant to do anything karate related. Mm-hmm. She was kind of friends with the mean girls at school and stuff, and she definitely has grown as a character. And I know a lot of people I've seen in comments of videos and stuff who absolutely despise her character. But I don't really get that feeling.
I can't imagine that.
No. I think, again, she has conflict. But that's interesting. If she was just a perfect character, no one wants to watch that.
Yeah. I feel like she's almost the victim of everyone else's shenanigans.
Almost.
I mean, she didn't ask for any of this, right? Like,
I don't know. I think everyone brings up the point of how she kissed Miguel or something when Tori was almost dating him, but not quite. And I think everyone brings that up, and that's why they hate her. But I don't think she deserves the hate for that. It's a mistake.
No, they're clearly the two meant to be together.
Yeah, and their characters definitely have more of a chemistry together.
For sure. And that was supposed to be apparent, I think, that they would end up, reconciling. And yeah, they belong together, for sure.
It's pretty great. I mean, if you think about it, Daniel's daughter and his student, and Johnny's student and who's almost like a son to him, who have a romance together. Almost Romeo and Juliet, like, it's great.
That is another great reference. You mentioned Star Wars, and I think Romeo and Juliet is another perfect example of how these types of stories have been written for so long and why they're so appealing to people.
And it's almost an unrealistic conflict over something, if you realize it, what Romeo and Juliet and Cobra Kai have in common. Like, why are Daniel and Johnny still obsessing about this tournament that happened in 1984, you know? But it's almost the same feeling with Romeo and Juliet.
Like,
why are their families hating each other so much?
Ultimate grudge.
Yeah, a grudge that really, it's not based in that much. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's definitely a good reference there.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to talk, if you have any more thoughts on Daniel. I think we've covered most of it.
We've covered him. I think, just to rehash a little, it is nice to see that he didn't turn out perfect either. He just like in the first film, in all the films, he's sort of a victim, but he's also, he doesn't just stand down either. And he's a provoker too. Mm-hmm. And they stayed true to that character and a little bit of a hothead,
Yeah. Even though he's not supposed to be by the way Miyagi teaches him.
Right. And to see him, get into such a position where he's almost lost his career and his friends and everything, and to have to go and seek wisdom again, you know, he's keeping him interesting, yeah, for sure.
Good character development right there. And then I think we could just put some final thoughts on Johnny. Do you have any?
He has come a long way. Of course, I also, we haven't talked about his temptation with Allie, you know, thinking that that's where he wanted to go. And, you know, and when she finally does show up, that he ends up making the right choice with her too. And just coming to the brink of messing things up, I guess just that.
Yeah.
That just seeing how far he's come as a character is super satisfying.
Definitely agree.
And I don't want to skip over how cool it was to see him reunite with some of the Cobras too. And I'm surprised we haven't seen more about Tommy who died, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I, for one, was it was not lost on me that he was the get him a body bag guy, and his final scene was being zipped into a body bag. But I don't know. I didn't see a lot of like any more like they didn't, like, he didn't talk to Allie about it or anything. Like, I feel like there could have been more with that, but it was great to see the Cobras back together too. Yeah. Just touching on that again.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, moving on from all of this, we can talk a bit about Allie in third season. I especially wanted to ask you, was it what you wanted? You knew Allie was returning. You knew she had to. Was it all that you dreamed of? I know how excited you were for this moment.
Was it all I dreamed? I think I didn't have any notion of how it would unfold. Yeah. I didn't have an idea. I mean, of course, you know, our minds go to the darkest places. Like, could she like wreck Daniel's home or something, like end up with him again somehow? But I think honestly, she's perfect again, sort of like the Okinawa characters. I don't know if she'll be back again or not. It seems like they just kind of had her come in for Christmas and she's flying out and that's it.
Yeah.
But she served a great purpose in sort of challenging Johnny and Daniel to, hey, you guys are more alike than you think.
Yeah.
So, who else was going to tell them that? Who else knows them at that level, you know, from back then, and wants to see them stop fighting to the point where, you know, just kind of like a big eye opener. So I think she did her job and added just enough tension of, yeah, she might get back with one of them to make it fun, but yet didn't go there. So obviously, so that was nice.
Yeah. I think you bring up a great point. I mean, she literally is the one who causes Eagle Fang, I guess now, and Miyagi-Do to come together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite literally just Allie's doing, and I think that's great. And I like that she didn't really get with Johnny or Daniel or anything, because that would slow the plot down. It would make you see the characters differently, and it just wasn't necessary.
Yeah, it didn't seem in line with any of their characters, honestly.
No,
I mean,
and you don't want to see Daniel leave his wife or anything. You don't want to see, you want to see more of Johnny and Miguel's mother. You want to see more of that. You want to see where that goes. You don't want that really messed up by Allie. And I think you're right. She's probably going to just be not present in any of the other seasons, but that's fine with me, because I think she did her part really well.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, it was right.
Quite literally perfect. Unless you have anything else to say about characters. I mean, all I have to say is, what did you like or dislike about it overall? And just season three in general.
Season three. Yeah, I kind of covered what I disliked about it. Yeah, I think we kind of covered what I like about it too, is the path of redemption.
Yeah.
And the backstories, that just helps so much to make it not just a one-dimensional sort of story. So
I think we covered everything really well. It's been really fun. So before we close out, I'd like to ask you the ultimate question. Was the crane kick illegal?
Well, I don't claim to know enough about karate to answer that question, but I did see Ralph Macchio chime in on it, and I think he made a good point. The referee said point winner, so
I mean, he still won. Even if it was illegal, he won.
Right. I mean, it's just like if there's a play in football that was called wrong by the ref, and you know, they get the next playoff, it's in the books. So It's in the books.
What happened, happened. No matter how Johnny feels about it.
Yeah, but it's sort of nice to know that maybe they need to finish that match if it was illegal. Yeah. So
we'll leave that
as a open for interpretation, I guess. But.
Good point. Well, as anyone listening can tell, we think this show is extremely watchable. And we definitely think Karate Kid Part 1 and Part 2 is watchable. So if you have seen Cobra Kai, but you haven't seen the original Karate Kid movies, we're begging you to watch them. Because, I mean, it will make Cobra Kai all the much more better and exciting.
No, but you can't have one without the other. So, exactly. Yeah. And congratulations on this podcast. You guys are doing a great job and I am proud of you. You are definitely the best around and nobody's ever going to keep you down.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it was great.
It's been great.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Watchable. This podcast is edited by Sophia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com and our graphic is by Maria Hernandez.
If you enjoy listening, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out.
Have an idea on what we should review next? Send us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Tumblr at Watchable Media.
Join us next time when we discuss...
We don't know yet, but now go enjoy your day.